Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey now, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 62. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, this has been kind of a crazy week.
Yeah.
Captain Crunch was actually stripped of his captaincy in the off week.
Yeah.
And, you know, now he's just Crunch.
He's Ensign Crunch.
He's just Ensign Crunch.
I heard Captain and Tennille is just Tennille now.
Oh. this is big
yeah.
news.
Yeah.
Captain America lost his captaincy. Now he's just Superman. Okay, sorry. You know what? We're not going to talk about the captaincy at all this week, are we, dude?
Actually, we will in just a minute.
Damn it!
But first, I want to remind our listeners, you can find us on Facebook. If you search for Dudes on Hockey Podcast, you can find us there. You can also subscribe to the feed through iTunes. I have a very complicated statistical thing that I do trying to figure out how you all are listening to the podcast. And I know there's more of you that could be listening through the feed if that's what you aren't doing. If you're just listening through the dudesonhockey.com website, well, you can set up iTunes or many other pieces of software to just automatically download the podcast every week. You don't have to go to the website at all. It's awesome.
Wow. Less work.
Less work.
We'll encourage lazy behavior.
That's right.
That's right.
And here you were using your fingers like a sucker. No reason to do that.
We're glad you're here, whether you use your fingers or not.
Okay, I'm not going to even touch that one.
What, dude?
Oh, excuse me. But anyway, you can review us on iTunes. We have many good reviews, and you can say nice things about us, or maybe not so nice things, but you know, say whatever you want, or become a fan of us through Facebook, and you'll also get the feed and other assorted interesting content. So,
dude, TikTok, we're on the clock. The season is getting closer.
It's getting closer, dude.
They're announcing some key dates. The teal and white game was announced. That's that thrilling event.
Yes, always
that happens at the tank where the Sharks are divided into two different teams, teal and white, and then they kind of play a scrimmage.
Yeah. Assorted grammatical errors ensue, as they did last year. For those who remember, on the teal and white shirt that they give out for free, it said, "Whose side are you on?" Yeah, whose side is you on? That would be even funnier. No, whose side are you on? And it was WHO apostrophe S. And so that, you know. It was,
I still wear that shirt.
I do too, because I think it's pretty funny.
It
to
is
have
pretty funny.
Grammatical.
Somebody error. Got fired.
Eh, probably not.
They gave out 10,000 shirts that are spelled wrong that say Sharks on the back.
Well, it's sort of like having like one of those stamps with the plane flying upside down. You know, it's like it's a collectible. It's awesome. It's a point of pride among Sharks fans for years to come, I'm sure.
Okay.
Anyway, so, dude, of course we're going to talk about the rumors, the stuff that's going on, because, again, no signings, again, no real movement.
Now, there
players.
Was a signing this week. We got a great scoop this week.
That's right. You got the scoop, dude, not me. You.
That's right. Well, when you're up early on a Sunday morning, that's what happens.
Having an interesting night the night before.
That's right.
You end up trolling capgeek.com and found out that, we signed a guy from Boston
Ben
College?
Ben Ferrario.
Okay.
Yeah, Ben Ferrario, who seemed to be a pretty important player for Boston College as far as their success for the last several seasons, and he scored the winning goal in the consolation game at the Frozen Four this year. Seems like a pesky power forward type, even though he's not super big. Seems like he's willing to stand in front of the net and take a few hits and score some goals. And I don't know. It's interesting that that's the way he went instead of signing like Todd Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
He signed a kid.
Right. He's a kid version of Jed Ortmeier, right?
I hope this guy's better than Jed Ortmeier.
Well, Jed Ortmeier actually has a shot at playing at the NHL this year. I wouldn't
sure.
say Ben Ferrario is going to be playing any place.
No,
but
the one thing I talked about on the blog is that Doug Wilson's got a pretty damn good track record with attracting these college players. And once he signs them to a deal, you know, Joe Pavelski played, you know, a handful of games in the AHL before he was a regular in the lineup. Torrey Mitchell broke in after playing just like 10 or 11 games at the end of his college season.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say this kid might not do the same thing?
He might be the same, and he's cheap, right? And that's what,
and
the, Sharks,
cheap?
That's
yeah.
what the Sharks need right now. We're going to be talking about that a little later in the show, but I'd say maybe the biggest thing that happened this week was almost something that didn't. The first thing that came out is sort of strangely on some random website that I found through Puck Daddy, which is a Yahoo affiliated hockey blog. Pretty funny stuff, actually. But he linked to it, and it just said that Patrick Marleau would not waive his no-trade clause in order to be traded to the Ottawa Senators in a trade for Danny Healy. Right, and that's all it said. There was no real article. It was just one sentence. And so that caused sort of a mini stir amongst Sharks fans, I would say. And then it came out immediately after that. David Pollack ran it down and talked to the general manager, Doug Wilson, that, quote, Patrick Marleau has not been asked to trade or to waive his no-trade clause, excuse me. So it was a rumor that sounded kind of interesting, and then it wasn't. What do you make of this hullabaloo, dude?
Well, who wrote that post? The Tooth Fairy? I mean, we've got nobody who's owning up to that, right? And then it was instantly deleted.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The validity of the post itself, I think, is suspect.
At least.
Because there's no source.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no mention of how that information was gotten, and no one has come out and said, yes, this is something I put on the website. Because their normal hockey guy, can't remember his name off the top of my head, Dan Wood or something, he said he didn't write it. So I'm not sure who at the OC Register put that up there.
Well, whoever put it up there, the OC Register decided that it wasn't, you know, either they didn't have the source or, you know, they didn't feel like they could support it. So they pulled it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think we go back even a week before, dude, when, remember when Patrick Marleau was being interviewed at Captain's Ice and they asked him at that point, you know, what's going on? You know, have you been asked to waive your no trade clause? This is during the whole captaincy issue. And he said at that point that he didn't really want to comment on
that. That's right. And he said that again today because he's at the Olympic camp for Canada. So they asked him again, have you been asked to waive your no trade clause? And he says, I'm not really going to discuss that.
So when that happened and I read that, I remember I called you and I said, dude, I'm reading between the lines here. Patrick Marleau's been asked to waive his no trade clause. He said no.
And then Doug Wilson comes out and says he has not been asked to waive his no trade clause. So what do we make of all this?
Somebody's a fibber?
Yeah. Well, there's a few...
Liar, liar, pants on fire. I don't know. I mean...
Is that where you're throwing your lot? You think Doug Wilson is just flat out...
I don't know, dude. You know, I've kind of go back and forth on it because... You know, the rumor itself, I guess, let's talk about the rumor itself, is Marleau going to Ottawa in exchange for Healy. That doesn't make sense to me, first of all.
Right.
Because okay. I don't, would you do that?
It's tough. You mean, would I do that as a Sharks?
Yeah. GM? Would you make that trade? Would you commit yourself to 4 years of a higher salary player and totally lose your flexibility in the future?
On one hand, I can see why you would do that, because in 2 years it's possible that both Thornton Marleau and Nabokov will be gone, and the Sharks could be completely bereft of anything even remotely approaching a superstar. And having Danny Healy for 5 years would certainly alleviate that problem. Okay, so from that perspective, I can say, you know, maybe that's not the worst thing. And certainly you can say maybe Danny Healy's a better player than Patrick Marleau. I mean, Marleau's a center. He has different skills. He plays the kill, et cetera, et cetera. But Healy, before this whole trade thing came out with Healy and asking to be traded and all this, I mean, people were talking about, like, he was going to be on the top line on the Canadian Olympic team. Now, that's a great player by definition. So you could say it's an upgrade, it's a player upgrade, and it's more certainty in terms of having top-end talent.
I guess the question would be is that if Marleau walked... At the end of the year, Sharks have a mediocre year, Marleau leaves, and Healy was a free agent, which he obviously wouldn't be. Let's say hypothetically he was, like Gaborik.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't we all be sitting here and saying, well, watch, you got to sign Danny Healy?
That's right. Well, let's go get Healy. Let's go get, I mean, people wanted
So I guess, Gaborik. I mean, as I'm sort of logically talking myself through this right now, I feel like I'm in therapy. Mike, I want to talk to you about my mother. No. That I guess if you have a chance to land that type of player who's locked into a deal with the market either going down or up, I mean, maybe it does make sense.
Well, I also want to get in a little bit into parsing this statement that Doug Wilson said. He said, Patrick Marleau has not been asked to waive his no trade clause. Now, here's a hypothetical situation that might have occurred. Doug Wilson's talking with Ottawa. He says, hey, let's go get Danny Heatley, right? Hey, what about Danny Heatley? And they say, well, what do you think about Marlowe? And he says, I'm not really sure. And then he rings Patrick Marlowe and he says, hello, Patty. And he says, I was just wondering if the situation happened to come up, let's say hypothetically, that it might be possible for you to go to Ottawa. Would you possibly be receptive to that kind of idea? Maybe not that specifically, but kind of like that. And he says, no, I'm not really sure I'd be interested in that. Okay, is that Patrick Marlowe refusing to waive his no-trade clause?
Yes.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. It isn't? That's not him asking him to waive it. That's asking if he would be receptive to the situation. I mean, we're getting into some legalese parsing language crap, but I mean, this is how people weasel out of these things. It's like saying, oh, what's the definition of is? Right? What's the definition of being asked to waive his no-trade clause? Posing a hypothetical, that's not the same thing. Lawyers do that crap all the time, right?
Sure.
That could have happened. I think that may have been closer to the truth. We're floating. Oh, I'm just spitballing here, Pat. I'm just wondering what could happen.
I think something happened. Either Doug Wilson is lying to the press, or that sort of tap dancing around a turkey happened.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, because...
And the end result was that he knew that Marlowe wouldn't approve a trade to wherever, and they couldn't move forward with it.
At least my cockamamie idea would be somewhat consistent with what has happened, because to Doug Wilson, that's not asking for him to waive his no-trade clause, because that would necessarily mean there's a trade in place, there's a proposal in place. Okay, I'm formally asking you to sign this piece of paper that says I waive my no-trade clause and will be sent to another team. That never happened, okay? But to Patrick Marlowe, that's pretty close to asking to waive somebody's... Maybe that's why he won't comment on it, because maybe to Marlowe, it's, hey, he asked me, and to Doug Wilson, it's like, no, it wasn't anything formal. I didn't actually ask him.
Can I toss something out here, dude?
Bring it.
Maybe it's not a totally dead issue yet either. I mean, maybe it's out there. Maybe Marlowe said, well, listen, let me talk to my wife since she runs my life. You know, she sculpts my eyebrows. And
not a very good job.
No.
Fire her and get somebody else.
Do you think he looks like Bert from The Muppets?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean...
Bert's a little jaundiced, though, I think.
That's true.
It's a little bit more yellow.
I'm not trying to insult Patrick Marlowe here, but those eyebrows are special.
Yeah.
They are. They're special.
It's good.
Anyways, so let's say, again, in the land of hypothetical, that conversation happened. He said, you know, Doug, I would only be interested in doing something like that if that team maybe offered me a contract extension.
Mm-hmm. I could see that, yeah. Because I don't want to move around. I got small children. Yeah, I don't want to move twice in a year. Sure.
So if they want to give me a contract extension, then, you know, maybe we can have the actual discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that might be where, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's also confusing, dude. And I'm getting a little bit bitter. I'm a little salty today about it.
Well, this is actually something that's going to make you a little saltier, because this is a conversation that I'm interested in having, and I might take sort of the devil's advocate, and maybe this is going to piss you off some, which might make this podcast that much more interesting. But let's say, and this is a crazy hypothetical that has certainly not been proven. Let's say, for instance, that we're right, and at least the idea has been floated for Patrick Marlowe to waive his no-trade clause, or he's actually, Doug Wilson is just, in fact, not being completely truthful and has asked Patrick Marlowe to waive his no-trade clause, and Marlowe has refused. How is that much different than what Danny Heatley is doing? Now, just hear me out. Danny Heatley supposedly asked for a trade, okay, in May. He asked for a trade. He asked for a trade in May. He didn't release it to the press. He didn't create this big stir. The Senators released that information to the press, possibly to make Brian Murray look better and to make Heatley look worse, and then to make a trade like Cogliano and Penner and Smead, make that trade look better for the Senators than it really is. I mean, if that was a trade that was proposed, you know, on February 15th of last year, Ottawa fans would be up in arms. It's a terrible trade for them. But now this trade to the Oilers seems great for Ottawa. Let's get this malcontent out of town. Let's get this guy out of here. Okay. So that knowing that on one side, Marlowe refusing to waive his no trade clause, possibly a trade that would be very beneficial to the Sharks, maybe it was relieving cap space and other things. How is that really any different? Isn't Marlowe just as much of an ass as Heatley supposedly is for this trade? Or are they both asses? Or maybe neither of them are? What's your vote?
Dude, I don't think it's the same thing at all. I think that, you know, Patrick Marlowe signed a contract where he asked for a no trade clause. He got a no trade clause. And so then he has the right to then refuse to move his family to another city. I mean, that's a right that he's earned as being a star player in the NHL. And if they ask him to leave and he doesn't want to, he has the right to say no. So, you know, I don't know how that makes him an ass to invoke a right that he has in his contract where the other player is not willing to honor his contract.
Well, that's not true, though. Danny Heatley is willing to honor his contract. He's planning on showing up to camp. He's never said anything like he's not going to play. And just like Marlowe, he earned a no-trade contract or a no-movement clause. And then when they asked to have him traded to Edmonton, he also exercised that right, maybe possibly the same way Marlowe has, and said, nah, I don't really want that trade. How are those two things different?
I think it's different because Marlowe didn't ask to be moved. I mean, he didn't cause this problem. I mean, well, maybe his play has caused us to be a little bit, you know, disappointed, but really, I mean, and we've talked about this, his play last year was not good. He was very good during the regular season, and maybe the only thing in question with him has been his leadership. And so for Marlowe, I just don't see how it's the same thing, because you can't be forced to move. If your boss came to you today and said, you know, Mike, I think that I'm going to have to ask you to go move to Dallas.
Yeah.
Because it's what's good for the company.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And maybe I'd say no.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so then wherever you work, would they have a right to be upset with you?
No, I don't think so.
No. So then how's it any different, dude?
I don't think it's that different. This is sort of my point. I think this stuff that's gone on with Heatley, and supposedly he's this ass, he's this jerk.
But if you went to, but if you said you wanted to leave, and that forced some guy in Dallas to uproot who didn't want to go, I think the guy who's being forced to leave, I don't see how he's at fault.
Well, for one,
by refusing to leave,
I don't know the situation completely in terms of how that was posed. But it's possible he asked for a trade. Listen, this isn't working out for me right here. If you can work together a trade to get me out of this town, I would appreciate it, okay? And maybe he didn't threaten anything or anything like that. You're right, that's the difference here, is that he asked to be traded and then decided not to accept the trade. But he didn't accept the trade possibly the same way that Marlowe hasn't accepted the trade. And frankly, I don't think it's that much different. He's not the one that made it into the press. He's not the one that's acting like a fool here. He made a request that probably many Sharks players have made, maybe in just the last few years, that we just frankly don't know about. Does that suddenly make all of those players jerks because maybe they didn't like their role on the team and they wanted to get out? I mean, isn't it possible that Chichu has asked for a trade? I mean, he's certainly in a role that he's not accustomed to.
Sure.
Maybe he doesn't like it. So is Chichu suddenly a jerk because he's asking for a trade? And if he has a no-trade clause and behind the scenes, Doug Wilson says, okay, we'll trade you to the Islanders for a fifth-round pick. And he says, no, I really don't want to play on the island. No, thank you, if he had a no-trade clause. Does that suddenly make him as big of a jerk as Heatley?
Well, I think you're right that Heatley has been villainized here by the Ottawa Senators, and they played it perfectly. At least they did at first, but now it could end up being a gigantic mistake, mm-hmm. because it's going to ruin their season if he's still on the team. That there's just no way they can be successful, which is why I still just think they have to move him. But I don't see how you can fault a player who's not actively seeking to get out of town for refusing to move.
Right.
So.
I totally agree with you with that. And I sort of feel the same way about Heatley. I mean, he maybe made a legitimate request in confidence that was then leaked to the media. And now he's sort of stuck in this, you know, storm of crap that he's having to deal with. And frankly, he's just doing not so much different what Marlowe's doing. I think maybe both of those guys are well within their rights of doing what they did. And one got publicized and the other one didn't. And so one guy's taking a fall and another guy's not. So that, you know, that was...
You're just making me mad, dude.
Exactly. This is sort of my point. This is what I'm trying to do. Is it working?
You're trying to rile the sleeping bear?
Is it working?
Dude, I don't agree with you at all. Dude, I think you're wrong. And I think we should pose it to the listeners,
okay.
That, you know, is there a difference in your mind between the player requesting a trade or a player refusing to waive his no trade? Right?
That's true.
Right. Is there a difference?
It's a good question. We'll pose it to the listeners, and hopefully you can send us emails at Questions of Dudes on Hockey, and we could talk about it in future shows. But let's get
it's
off
like
this.
Not honoring a commitment, dude. I told you I wasn't coming to the podcast today because I was holding out for more money.
See, I think it's more like you're asking, like, dude, you know, can we do the podcast on Friday instead of Tuesday because I got this other thing? Is it possible? And then I say, okay, well, how about Thursday? And then you say no.
I think we just lost five listeners.
All right, let's get on to the next thing. We're belaboring this point. We're belaboring this point. But anyway, you were talking about how you were very sort of down on the Sharks, and I admit it's hard to keep those feelings away because the Sharks are over the cap. They have players to sign. There's players that are going to be gone. We don't know what it is. It's very uncertain. And so we have a new segment here. You ready?
Yeah.
There's a moment, you know, you're
on the edge, dude.
I think that speaks for itself, that particular little song snippet. And that's sort of what the Sharks are right now, aren't they? They're over the cap, and what's their situation? They only have 19 players signed, and
dude,
they're over
the cap.
We're
in the worst position out of any team right now as far as, you know,
any
salary
team
cap.
In
any
NHL,
team in the NHL.
The
we have the least amount of players signed. We're tied with Florida. But the other side is that Florida has $7.6 million of cap room to sign their additional players. And we're negative 0.3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not over the cap by the most, but Detroit has 23 players signed, but they're almost a million over. So, you know, they've got to get rid of somebody.
They get rid of one guy.
Get rid of one guy, but really it's just sending somebody down even too. They could play a little bit like the dance that we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't even field a full team right now.
Yeah, Sharks are screwed. A little screwed right here. So the question is, and it's going to be the question that we're going to continue to ask and from now until the beginning of the season, what in the world are the Sharks going to do? And I know I posed a few weeks back and you looked at me like I was crazy, and I thought the Sharks might Kyle McLaren somebody, which is now hopefully due to my efforts entering the lexicon.
I did just look it up on Google and it's there.
I'm going to Kyle McLaren somebody, which means to send a NHL caliber player down to the minors purely for salary cap reasons. And I think that's distinctly possible. It's getting more possible all the time. I'm frankly shocked at how locked up this free agent market seems to be. I mean, you look at the list of players that are unsigned. It's unbelievable. Some of these guys that don't have a team. Alex Tanguay doesn't have a team. Like, what?
There's a ton of really decent quality veteran role players who are played a full season on an NHL roster last year, and they have nowhere to go. And they might have to accept tryout contracts with teams. And we may even see a few come to town here because...
Yeah.
You know, if we do Kyle McLaren somebody, and I think the prime candidates for that are, you know, you could do it to Jody Shelley, but that's not going to save you much.
It's not much money.
Roster space or cap space. You know, the prime candidates cheat you.
It has to be.
Like you said, and it could also be somebody like Brad Lukowich, I guess.
Yeah.
It could be Brad Lukowich that, you know, he's making 1.6, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
So
in that neighborhood.
That's two guys. I mean, that's two players, maybe even three.
Mm-hmm.
You send Brad Lukowich down, and you have the room to bring in three young guys.
So is the Ehrhoff for Jason Chimera deal looking really good right now?
Well, in a way, I guess it does, but it also really only saves the Sharks about $1.4 million, which... could be two extra players.
Take it any way we can.
So that's 21 players and you're still a little bit over the cap.
That's a little bit more workable, right? Maybe you can run and gun.
How many players do we need to really start this season, dude?
21 or 22 is enough. I think the Sharks didn't run the full 23 the entire year last year. They usually don't. I think they usually run 21 or 22. So that's technically a playable roster, but 19 just isn't.
So there's 20 guys dressed.
I believe that's right. Yes.
Right. So if there's 21 guys, that means you've got one spare.
You got one,
which
correct.
They did a lot last year.
That's right. That's right.
So,
is that
are we
deal?
Looking at the same kind of possible situation? I guess we are, and it could be Brad Lukowich who is the one who goes. It could be Ehrhoff who's moved for Chimera, and that solves a little bit of the problem up front. I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
I've been preaching patience all summer, and now all of a sudden I appear to have done run out.
Yeah, you don't have a very nice look.
I've run out, dude. Well, you just, you know, poked me with in a paper cut with a
I poked the sleeping giant.
God, dude, you really irritated me with that last segment.
I'm here to help.
Thank you.
That's what I'm here for.
I'd like to talk about my mother.
But anyway, we're gonna continue questioning that. And you know, in the spirit of people to be moved, certainly there are moves to come, whether we like it or not. We have an email to that effect from our buddy Adam, who's asking a question about Erhoff versus Vlasic this week. And he says, my question for the week is, who would you rather keep under the presumption that one of them has to go, Erhoff or Vlasic? You always hear Erhoff's name in rumors, but hardly Vlasic. But should the Sharks be shopping Vlasic instead of Erhoff? And then he goes into actually a fairly compelling argument for Erhoff. For one, Vlasic was the statistically worst defenseman for San Jose in the playoffs, any way you slice it. Some other things that Erhoff has more offensive upside, so on and so forth, and Vlasic doesn't. I think it's a pretty compelling argument. We've always been talking about Erhoff, and certainly, at least in my mind, Vlasic seems to be a cut above. Do you think that should be put into question, dude?
I think it's definitely up for discussion. I think something that has to be, you know, recognized is that Erhoff had his best offensive season last year.
Did Vlasic.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so did Vlasic. I mean, I meant to say Vlasic, sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, Vlasic was 6 points better than the year before, right? I mean, No, he was way better. Last year was... I shouldn't drink before the podcast, dude. It really is sad. He was way better. I mean, last year it was 2008, right? So he had 36 points, and the year before that he had 14.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a huge jump. So he really did thrive in McClellan's system as far as becoming more productive on the other end. I think the thing, stats aside, dude, we could look at numbers all day.
Mm-hmm.
In my brain,
I often do.
I have a wider burned memory of Erhoff doing stupid things than I do Vlasic.
Right.
It stands. It feel like whenever there's something really lame that happens on our end, I feel like I'm looking at Erhoff.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. And Adam, I think that's actually a pretty good point, because there is less margin for error as a defenseman. If you're 180 feet away from your own goal and you make a mistake, that doesn't always turn into a goal. Actually, most of the time it won't. But if you're 15 feet away from your net and you make a mistake, and that's where defensemen earn their money, then yeah, that can really bite you. And that's really sort of your first priority as a defenseman. I'd certainly agree that Erhoff seems to have more offensive upside. But as you said, dude, Vlasic had a pretty good year last year. He was tied for 36 among defensive points. He had more points than Chris Letang, Joni Pekkanen, Paul Martin, Matthew Schneider, and the Vishnovsky up in Edmonton, who are all considered to be pretty damn good offensive defensemen. So does that mean Vlasic's going to have that many points every year? No. I certainly think it means that Vlasic has some offensive upside, and I don't think anybody would say that he has the defensive liability that Erhoff has. So despite your email, Adam, and it's a damn good argument, I'm still going to have to give the nod to Vlasic, frankly. They're making the same amount of money, and Vlasic has it for more years. I like his deal better, and I like his play better.
Yeah, I mean, Erhoff's more physical. They both have been in the doghouse at collective stretches. But I would have to say, if I had to pick between the two, I would pick Vlasic also.
Thanks, Adam, for the email. It's a good one. We're going to have to go to our old segment, Crazy Trade.
Crazy trade.
All right, dude, let's spice up the podcast. Let's get a little levity in here, dude. You look so down.
I have a crazy trade. I'm okay. Ready. I'm going to trade you to Sharks Page
dude,
for John and Max.
Dude, they would never agree to that. I'm not worth half of Max. I'm not worth either of those guys. I can't even carry John's camera.
So who's worse, them for refusing to come or you for refusing to go?
I would say me.
Actually, so you're Patrick Marleau.
I'm Patrick Marleau.
All right, dude, I've got a crazy trade.
Okay.
Well, I put one out on the blog this week. Steve Ott.
Yeah, you like Steve Ott.
I do like Steve Ott.
Yeah.
He's a...
You hate him when
he's a jerk.
Yeah, when you hate him when you play him.
But Steve Ott to the Sharks for,
I think you said Erhoff.
Erhoff, yeah. And that would save us enough money to sign three other guys.
Dallas would never ever do that.
Probably not.
Okay.
So... Dude,
another crazy trade.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
No, I'll go first because my crazy trade probably isn't going to be as funny or interesting as yours. But I have a Douglas Murray trade. So I'm spicing it up. I'm looking for teams that need D. Florida is one of those teams. I'm looking at a guy. I sound like a broken record now. I'm looking for guys that have some upside in the future that aren't making a lot of money right now. I'm looking at a guy, Michael Frolik, overall number 10 pick. He's making under $2 million. It's not a huge cap difference for the Sharks. They do get rid of a little bit of cap, but you trade Doug Murray, a good sort of physical defenseman, for a number 10 pick that could have some serious upside. Played well in the Czech League. He is not a honest-to-goodness lock to be a great NHL player. So there's some risk associated with that, but I think when you trade a guy like Doug Murray, you have to give up some risk, and I think that's... I don't know if that's a crazy trade, but I don't know if the Panthers would agree to it, but I kind of like that deal for the Sharks.
Would Frolik be able to play like third-line minutes? Is that kind of guy right now or no?
He's not a big guy, but he's quick, so he would sort of be... You would hope he would be a little bit more in the Torrey Mitchell mold, tenacious, but not a beast and hitting everything. Yeah, so that's what I would sort of hope for Frolik, and maybe give him an opportunity to move into the top six.
Mine is it's taking much more of a sledgehammer to the roster, okay?
Nice, dude.
I've been a little bit inspired by Adam, because this involves Vlasic.
Okay.
Vlasic and Marlowe.
Okay. Bring out the dynamite.
Okay. Basically, Vlasic and Marlowe to Nashville for Jason Arnott.
Wow.
And Dan Hamhuis, because they basically have some of our old players. We have half of their old players. We may as well make a full switch, right, dude?
Trade one team for the other. Although I wouldn't do that.
So I think this is good for us, because you're bringing in a guy in Arnott who is a proven leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be as dynamic offensively as Marlowe, but he can still chip in. He's big. And he might be a great change in the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Hamhuis, who is really effective, but I think that where Nashville might be willing to step away from him is that he's unrestricted at the end of this year.
Right.
He's probably due for a big raise.
And they have Shea Weber. And
they have
Suter.
Shea Weber. They've got Suter, and you add Vlasic. He's signed for a pretty reasonable amount. You know, not too much, but not too little, but he's already signed. Hamhuis is going to make way more than that, way more than the 3.1 probably, don't you think?
Well, economic times hard to say these days. But you're right.
It saves the Sharks some money.
Mm-hmm.
They also get out from underneath Marlowe's contract if they can't agree to keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is all depending if Marlowe would agree, dude. But that's my crazy trade. Thoughts?
Interesting, dude. I kind of like it. Definitely a cap-saving maneuver.
If that came up on TSN, would you be excited or pissed?
I don't know if I would be super excited, because you're giving up some points for Arnott. But... especially since I am such a Dan Boyle fanboy and I want to see Dan Boyle wear the C, the leadership would be great, and the change in, you know, personalities in the locker room could be great. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, if that trade happened, I wouldn't say, God, the Sharks got screwed. You know what I mean? And if it takes a huge trade like that to turn things around, then I'm all for it.
Don't you think that Hamhuis would be a pretty good partner for Boyle long term?
I hope so. Yeah, that'd be nice.
He's 6'1", 203 pounds. You know, he's a little bit more defensive mind. He's not, you know, he's got 26 points. He's not terrible in the offensive zone. You know,
yeah, that would be actually a pretty decent pairing.
It might be a decent pairing for now and for the long term. So it's an upgrade, or at least a lateral move with Vlasic, and it's a different kind of player than Marlowe.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, things to think about, dude. I hope you're all reading our blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And I hope you'll listen to us again next week at Dudes on Hockey, because we're running out of stuff.
Yeah, we'll need some questions.
We need some questions, questions at dudesonhockey.com. But, you know, we'll always think of something to talk about next week. We can talk hockey all day, every day. So make sure to catch us again next Wednesday, and we'll talk to you then.
Bye, dude.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.